we're doing our thing and we're succeeding, we're doing well, and all of a sudden our feet get knocked out from under us and we fall. And we get back up and we brush ourselves off and we get it done and we do it right and we do all the things we need to do and we succeed and our feet get knocked out from under us again. And we put our hands in the air and say, why? Because we're on purpose. That's pressure. And that's what happens. And that's how we need to respond. And that's what we're going to talk about. Jason Reynolds is next. The heat is on. Let's get cooking. This is Purpose Under Pressure. It's a podcast about people who are swinging their feet out of bed every morning. They're doing it on purpose. They're going to get something done. And what they do when storms rise to knock them down. We've been doing this for quite a while now. And if you are back again, would you do me a favor and find that like button or follow or subscribe or even just call a friend and let them know they need to watch this right away. It helps us get in front of people that don't know we're there. And if you like it enough to come back, maybe it's worth them checking out too. So if you do that for me, I would greatly appreciate it. Welcome to Purpose Under Pressure. This show is brought to you in partnership with Sandler by the Ruby Group, serving sales professionals nationwide from their Akron and Columbus, Ohio locations. They are one of the highest performing Sandler sales training affiliates in the nation, and they will make a difference for you and your team. I've been involved with them for quite a long time. They've made a difference in me. I hope that I'm able to make a difference in others because of things that they've taught me. And so I'm greatly appreciative to them of their partnership with this and just being the great people that they are. So check them out online at rubygroup.sandler.com. Speaking of Sandler, our guest today is Jason Reynolds. Jason is a chief training officer and an owner at Sandler by the Ruby Group. And Jason is dedicated to excellence. When you meet him today, you're going to realize he's not messing around. He cares about you. He cares about what you're doing and how you're doing it. And he's going to help you do the right things moving forward from that. And, you know, everybody that I've ever met, Jason, at Sandler by the Ruby Group is focused on helping other people do amazing things. And I thank you for all that you do. Welcome to Purpose Under Pressure.
Yeah. Awesome to be here, Brian. Glad you have me on. I appreciate it. And it's great to sit down with you and talk about what we're going to talk about today.
So the problem I have when I interview folks from Sandler is I start talking all about Sandler and I forget to let you talk about Sandler. Because I'm so thrilled with the things that you guys have done over the years and the improvements you've made for me and my salespeople over time and even for my customers' businesses, I'm able to help them in such a way. But tell me, Jason, what are you excited about? What's going great with yourself in your role at Sandler or just with Sandler overall? Brag a little bit about what's happening with you right now.
Yeah, I can do that. And let me say this first. I mean, just what you just said is the essence of what we do, right? Knowing we've made a personal impact with you, Brian, or people around that, you know, our dedication really is to, like, we first got to make ourselves better, and then making ourselves better and being a product, that product helps us then kind of reach out to people like you and other people and make their lives a little bit better. So, I mean, that is the essence of what the Ruby Group, what Sandler is how can we make ourselves better to help make other people better? So that's what's been going on at the Ruby Group. I mean, we're having, you know, back-to-back great years. I mean, we continue to grow. We continue to grow at a percentage that is, you know, unforeseen in our business. So that's awesome to be a part of. We're growing the amount of people at the Ruby Group. You know, we might take a little bit step back this year and kind of get better instead of bigger, but we're doing a lot of great things and just... it just makes my purpose and what we do at the Ruby Group and myself a lot easier, knowing that we're with an organization that has a lot of like-minded people and we can bounce a lot of great ideas off each other and keep growing.
Let's talk a little bit about better and not bigger. I'm interested in that because you guys are already better. What's happening here inside behind the scenes as far as purpose goes that you're trying to correct or improve or to change to make things better for people? I'm glad you're doing it. I'm just interested in why.
I think we took a step back to go, you know, we can keep trying to scale and keep trying to grow, but that doesn't mean profits are going to grow either. So in those processes, we got to take a step back and make sure that we're doing all the training, the prospecting, the coaching, the mentoring, and just get everybody better and bring everybody up to a level. You know, we can have two or three really great people doing it and selling and doing some great things, but we got to do it together. So that means we got to look at all of our processes. And I know a lot of organizations look at us as the example, but we continue to look at it in ourselves and go, if it's not broke, we got to break it sometimes and make it better.
So what do you like about being a sales trainer? What do you like about working at Sandler? And is that something that you always wanted to do? Let's start getting into the purpose of Jason Reynolds.
So the sales training aspect, like, you know, was it?
That was a deep sigh, yeah, Jason. That was a deep sigh. Because
I think I always wanted to do something like this. And if you ask Ken and Mike, they were like, dude, you were built for this. This is something you were born to do. And I'm like, I don't know if I was born to do it, but that's what comes across with me, because I have such a passion to, you know, as cliche as it sounds, I have a passion to help and heal people. And this has given me that platform, that existence to go out there and change people's lives in a better way. But what I, you know, purposely, what I had to find in myself is I had to get rid of a lot of stuff and a lot of head trash, a lot of societal things that were in my head to be able to do this. Because they reached out to me a long time ago when we first got together and said, hey, why don't you come on board and help us out and do this thing and help grow it? And I'm like, I don't know if timing's right now. I got a family. There's money that, you know, finances could be an issue. There's a lot of things that just make all this stuff click. And I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't ready to give up what I had to give up to be in a position to do what I'm doing. So that has been an evolution of probably 8 to 10 years of my life to put myself in position to be able to be here today and helping people the way I am.
So what were you doing before? And give us an insight into the mindset that had to change. What was life like then? And then you find this opportunity and yet, no, I can't. I mean, we all do that in right. business. That's not for me. I can't make that jump. I just don't have it in me for whatever reason. Sounds like that's what was going on with you. Talk to me about that transition.
Absolutely. You know, so I was in the transportation logistics downstream energy business for 20 years. I grew up in that. I moved up through the ranks. You know, I went from being a dispatcher at one age to a chief operating officer at the other level. So I did a really good job working my way up through the ranks, becoming a leader, helping organizations grow in that world. And there was just a lot of that, you know, like I got there and I didn't want to give up what I had, like high salary, good paying incomes. I had a family, we were doing well. And it really took some changes in life to really take a step back and go, okay, if I'm going to make a change, now it is. And the change happened. I went through a divorce in 2019. And that big change in my life really is what catapulted all this. I had a chance to sit back and go, what do I want for me, you know, for the first time in my life? Not what was I trying to do as a father and a dad and a husband to take care of a family. I had to take a step back and go, what's the next chapter of my life look like? And what do I want? What do I want to leave my mark and my legacy with? And I had an opportunity to go do other jobs, go be a VP of sales, chief sales officer at a couple different locations in that change. But I was like, no. Like, this was my purpose to go help and heal people. I get a platform. I loved it. You know, I was introduced to Sandler from my cousin back in 2011. And I got to watch him implement Sandler in his business to where he grew it from a $3 million business into a $62 million business. And he credits Sandler for that. Like, he goes, that was probably the catapulting thing in my business that helped me grow my business more than anything else was Sandler. And I'm like, well, I'm listening, Adam. You know, I'm listening to everything is because he's got a nice house. He's got nice cars. All this is working. I'm like, I'm listening. So as I made the transition to another job, I was like, I got to bring Sandler in. And I brought Ken and Mike in, and then we started laying that groundwork out. But, you know, 7 years after that, when I went through that divorce, I'm like, I got a decision to make. And that decision was big for me, going, do I stay in corporate America and going down these jobs and keep hitting that for somebody else? Or do I start my own business with the Ruby Group and help that and actually build something and grow something? And I knew it was going to be painful.
Why did you have a decision to make? What was going on that said, I need to do something different? You were successful and you were already going through enough change. Why then did you feel like you had to make another change?
Well, I knew there was a chance that, like, that was going through a divorce and your whole life is changing. And you see things in different lights then, you know, and that's the first thing. But the second thing is all those other jobs that were coming out, I was going to have to move and I was going to have to leave my kids here and go, well, I got to move. I'll be back on the weekends to come see you. I didn't want that for them. Like, that's at that point in time, I think they were 13 and 9. And I'm like, no. Like, this is my family was. It's very important. It's the essence of my being, or part of my essence of my role in my family is them. And I'm like, I can't leave them. I can't let that go. So I had those decisions to make. And, you know, I think half the battle when you're looking at your career is enjoying who you're with. And, you know, when it comes to Ken and Mike and the Ruby Group, I'd been with them for 7 years previous to that. Mm. And I always enjoyed being around them. So I'm like, I actually get to go work with them and struggle through this process and battle through life with them. Yeah, heck yeah. I'll choose that side versus the unknown.
So I've worked with Mike and Ken long enough to know that that transition, that jump, can't have been easy. Mike will take time to talk you out of joining. He'll tell you how hard it is, and it had to be hard. I'm interested in what that transition was like. You decided to join. You're going to do great things. Did you pick it up right away and away you went, or were there some trials?
Well, let's start with when I joined. So it was the end of January 2020.
There you go. It's always right? The case.
So here we are, January 2020. I just went through a divorce in October of 19, selling my house, moving my kids, readjusting all those things. I decided to do this commission only type business that we are basically building a business on a business. And it's January 2020. We all know what happened a couple months after that is COVID hit. And when it's all said and done, there were businesses out there going, are we going to be surviving? Let alone, hey, let's hire people to enhance our business. You know, they weren't looking for that. So
they're shutting
as
down.
My story went, you know, I went, you know, 1,000 cold calls into it, 1,000 dials into it, commissions only, I'm bleeding money. It took me 8 months to make my first sale. And I'm sitting here going, I'm wanting to do the whole Thelma and Louise thing and drive it off a cliff because my whole life had been blown up. And there were some changes in that too, because my old boss from my other life, one of my best friends in life too, my 40th birthday was in 2020, and he passed away on my birthday. And that was a changing spiritual moment for me, for that to happen when Mike passed away on my birthday as one of my best friends and mentors in life, on top of this big old change that was happening in my life where I'm changing jobs and I'm changing lifestyles and I'm trying to figure out my new role in life, not being married, and going through all that changes. Because the last thing he told me, he looked at me and said, Jason, you got a do-over, man. It's okay. And that's really the essence of Sandler too, is we're taking people and going, what you did in the path, it isn't a death sentence. It isn't a life sentence. It's a lesson learned. And we should look at that growth mindset way of life and going, no matter what we've been through, we can get better. It's just what we decide to do with it next. We can have that victim mentality and go back to the past and look at that stuff, or we can look at it through a growth mindset at eyes and sit there and go, hey, how can we make it better? And how can we keep moving forward?
And is that the mindset you used to propel you through that first 8 months? And I imagine your second sale didn't just come right away. Right. I imagine that's, you know, is that how you kept going and not turned back under the pressure?
Well, I also knew the system that we had, and I knew that some of our mottos and ways that we looked at things, right? Just do the behaviors and it will take care of itself.
If you outwork it
and outdo it, you will have success as long as you don't give up. And I knew that. And I knew what I was bringing to the team, and I knew that this, my book and my collaboration and network were eventually going to bring things. I just had to wait it out. And I know that, you know, every prospecting activity we do builds compound interest, and we just don't know when we're going to cash that check in. So I just had to give it some time. And so if you fast forward through some of that, year two, I'm the highest grossing associate ever in Ruby Group history. Year three, I'm the highest grossing associate in Ruby Group history. And then I walked into year four, entering in some more trials and tribulations into my life too.
Before we get to that, I'm interested. Was that the goal, to be the very best, to be the highest of all time, to set those records? I know you're athletic. I know you're competitive. Was that what you wanted to do and you weren't going to quit? Because in my mind, I've asked a lot of people during transition in this history of this show, Jason. So you're not doing anything well. You go home and you talk to your wife. What does she say? Well, Jason, you don't have anybody to go home and talk to. You got your kids asking, hey, Dad, how was work? And it's not going well. I just don't understand how you were able to keep going. Could you see that opportunity on the other side? Or was it just pure bullheaded, I'm just not going to lose?
Well, I think it's, Brian, honestly, it's probably a little bit of both, right? I mean, my mom's always told me I've always been a driven person. You know, I was 5 years old asking for homework in kindergarten and telling people I'm going to play basketball at Ohio State. I was always that driven individual that believed in himself on a whole different level. And I think that's what we're here for. Like, our purpose is bigger for us. And it's just a matter, can we see what our purpose is lining up? And if we've seen it and felt it, that means we should be going after it. And I always saw greatness in myself. And I'm not trying to say it in a cocky way, but I was always confident in something I could be. If somebody else could do it, why not me? And that was always my attitude. It's still my attitude why not me? Like, why can't we do these things better? Just because we're getting older doesn't mean I can't accomplish something. Doesn't mean I don't think, to answer your question, I don't think I was setting out to try to be the highest revenue producing person. That was not my goal. I was still honestly in kind of survival mode. Hey, can I change businesses and careers and make a career out of this and get it to where it's a little bit more stable? That was really my goal.
And then along the way, and we're about to get to year four, along the way, you're having all this success. Is there any part of Jason Reynolds that says, okay, this is what I wanted to do. I'm helping people. Things are good. I'm good. You chill out a little bit. Is there anything that happens there? It happens to salespeople all the time.
Well, and that's probably what was happening a little bit. Like year three, I'd made enough money and probably reached that success and started to feel like I've started to get there, or I'm there. And that feeling creeps in, right? And you start to go down that road because you've reached a level. I've reached the same level that my highest level in my past life was in year three. And you sit there and go, okay, you start to get comfortable. And what you don't realize is you're self-sabotaging yourself and you don't even see it. And there were probably ways I was in year three, entering year four, self-sabotaging myself. I just didn't see it yet.
One of the biggest problems we have as managers and leaders is sometimes we're not focusing on leading and we end up doing it for our sales team. How do we coach our people to help them figure out what self-limiting belief that they have that's holding them back from achieving the levels of success that they know they're capable of? Help them flush out what we call their own head trash, that thing that's holding them back. So work with your team, lead by example. Watch your team achieve greater levels of success and watch your team grow. And more importantly, watch your company and your business grow.
Tell me about it. How were you, what were some things that you were doing? Talk to me about some traps that I need to stay away from when I'm starting to feel too comfortable.
Yeah, well, it's taking your foot off the gas going, I'm here. It's never here. Like, we have to be disciplined to the process and unemotional about the outcome. I was getting emotional about the outcome going, I'm here. Like, third highest revenue producing associate of all time in the Ruby group. I'm making it. No, you're not. Like, you got to remember, Jason, that was never your purpose. Your purpose is, hey, can you help 100,000 people in the next 20 years? That's my purpose. Not to make money. Money comes, money goes. Money is something that comes after you do a great job at some of those things.
So what was happening, Jason, that finally kind of slapped you in the face a little bit? Was there some things that went wrong?
Well, you know, we all build books of business and we all have a lot of clients and things that go on there. And, you know, I was in a period of like 3 months, I lost three of my top customers. And that
wow. In a period of three months,
I lost... Wow. 80% of my revenue of my book of my business,
and all that you'd built up.
Yeah. You know, and it takes a, you know, we all work hard and it takes time to build clients. And, you know, a lot of my clients were coming from transportation, manufacturing, a lot of those areas that I'd been in, and the transportation industry has taken quite a hit in the last couple of years with, you know, the pushback and supply and demand. And a lot of the things have been happening in that market, and it was coming to me too. So it was, That aftermath was hurting me in that process. And we were at, you've probably been there, we have a client summit. It's a kind of a celebration of our clients down in Orlando every month. And that mm-hmm. Friday at the end of it, I get a phone call of my biggest client saying, Jason, we need to stop. Like, we have this $500,000 IT problem. We've given rate concessions out there in the $20 million range. Like, we've got to stop some of this right now. We got to take a breath. We got to reorganize. And I'm like, ooh, like, that was a huge hit, and such a huge,
just that fast,
such a huge hit that I, you know, I'm sitting here with clients and I got a couple of those guys with me at that same time going, this is your moment of courage right now, Jason. It's going to be okay. You're going to have a fun weekend with everybody. Cause I had people staying all weekend and I just got news that pretty much my life's changing again and it's going to change. And this, as the story goes, like, I went out that night, we went to bed. I woke up at 5:15 in the morning, straight wide awake, kind of feeling sorry for myself and going, why me again, God? Like, why is this happening again? I've just battled through adversity so many times in the last 3 or 4 years. Why now? Like, why is this happening? And I was having that moment of feeling sorry for myself and I fell back asleep. And I had all of a sudden in this dream, I'm out in the safari, out in this desert area. And I remember I'm walking around there and all of a sudden out of nowhere, a lion pops out. And this lion comes walking towards me And I remember I'm like, I can run or I can stand my ground. And what an analogy to life, right? When we're going through all this stuff, we get a decision. We get a decision of whether we run or we stay and we fight and we're resilient. And I remember in that dream, like the lion starts walking towards me and sits down. And we got eyes locked. And it felt like an eternity passed in this dream. But all of a sudden, the lion gets up and walks away. And I'm getting chills right now telling this story because it was so real.
I am too.
Because I felt like that was God coming to me and saying, Jason, I got you. If you just follow me, I got you. We'll be okay. This is all going to be okay. And when that happened, like, even though I went through a tough time the next 3 to 6 months rebuilding this and getting it somewhere again, I knew I was going to be okay. He was walking with me and just said, just have the courage to stick this one out one more time and it's all going to be all right.
I almost see him actually looking at you and also saying, what are you going to do now, Jason? Come on, I've given you the tools. Are you really going to fall back? I'm interested then. You wake up. So you woke up, you fell asleep, you wake up. You're in Orlando, you just lost your biggest customer. You just got a visit from God in your dreams. Now what? What'd you do?
We went and played golf.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then what?
Yeah, well, that was the kickoff. You know, I came home. I remember coming home and I like this whole lion thing. I bought like a 3x4 foot lion picture and hung it above my bed. And I'm like, every time I'm walking into my bedroom, when I'm going to bed at night, I'm looking at that lion and going, you got me and I got you. We're all right.
Yeah. And so what changed in you then? Because you were on the downslope, and like any other habit, anything that goes on, we get comfortable in life. We get used to what we're doing. Change is hard, and we can have a dream and that's one thing, but actually going out and doing it, did you start adopting the behaviors again? Did you go back to your customers, try to change the way you were doing the work again? Did you go to Mike and say, teach me more? What did you do to actually on Monday when you got back that it was actually going to make that difference?
Brian, honestly, I don't know if I did anything different. There was some massive action that needed to take place because I was like, oh, you know what? I got to fight right now. And that's going to involve some massive action out of me, either from a prospecting aspect or just doing some other things that maybe I wasn't doing because I was uncomfortable doing them. So I had to fight through that. But I think what really got me through it is I had really already kind of gotten to another level of my own self-concept and how I felt about myself and the behaviors that I'm doing. And I'm like, I just got to stay disciplined to what I know. I got to get up every morning, do my workouts, my cold baths, my ice therapy, my saunas, my prayer, my meditation. I just got to do it, but I got to do it with more instinctual purpose right now and believe it and manifest it. Because I'm a big believer. I don't think we manifest what we want. We manifest who we are. And if I didn't get myself out of that rut, I was going to manifest something negative out of it.
And as you started to get out of the rut, I'm interested in folks that are in the rut. I sometimes try to get up in the morning and go run, but man, the older I get, man, it's so much easier to lay in that bed. And you know, and the changes that one Tuesday morning run is going to do for me really aren't that big. Yeah. You know, I can miss a run. How do you, because I know that Ken and Mike and Sandler, they preach, just do the work. Don't try to decide what's going to work, what's not going to work. Do the work. Do your 5 calls. Do your 10 calls. Do your 100 calls. Do them, do them, do them. Go home. Do them again. And it'll all work out. When you're trying to fix something, you need that immediate fix. Like, how do you trust the system enough to do it all the time? I think people out there might be stuck right now wondering if this is really going to matter are going to need to hear what you say about discipline and how to do things when they don't see the benefit on the other side.
Well, I mean, reflection is big. Are you able to reflect back and sit there and you might think you're doing all the things right, but that's where you're at right now. There's obviously something you have to do better within yourself. So you got to be able to sit back and reflect back on those things and go, okay, where can I be? Do a little bit more? Where can I be a little bit better? Or where do I need to do things a little bit different in all of that? And I had just got done.
When someone comes to you. Yeah, go ahead.
Well,
I had
given a talk to our network back in January before all this happened. So we do all these goal setting series and I kind of did something a little different in the goal setting series. I came up with what I call my 5 F's. And it's all based around how fit can we become with my faith, my fitness, family, finances, and fun. So it just gives us a different way to look at some goals and how we set goals. And I used to go through that goal setting series that we used to do, and there were 7 or 8 categories. And I'm like, okay, great. I get to the end of the year and I'd have 30 goals on there. I'd hit 3 of them. We've all done that. But I needed a mantra that spoke to me differently. And I'm a big CrossFit guy. I'm a big athlete, golfer, all this other stuff. And I always know there's something little we can get better at. So I came up with, how fit can I become? Meaning that when I look at those 5 areas of my life that I try to live my life through, I'm never there. There's always something I can get better with, either in my faith, my fitness, my family, and how I see my family, how I spend time. So it's a journey and not a destination, looking at it that way.
It's interesting, and none of that is a goal, a financial goal, or making sure Sandler hits a certain number or anything like that. You're taking care of the details that make you the human being that you need to be, and the rest just kind of takes care of itself, doesn't it?
When you personally take time for yourself and make you better, everything else in your world gets better.
I love that. What are you working on next? What are the hurdles and what are the pressures that are going to, maybe you can kind of glimpse over top of the hill, that are coming at you soon to knock you off your pace?
Well, I mean, this transition, we kind of reorganized the company a little bit from a couple of different standpoints this year. So new level, new devil type stuff this year. I have to adjust to a leadership type role within the company that's coming. I've kind of looked at the rest of my life and simplified it a little bit. Instead of me bouncing around doing all these different things that I like doing, I'm refocused on a few things, because nothing is dynamic until you make it specific. So I'm really trying to get more specific about the things I want to get better at in life.
I'm interested, and I hope I don't overstep. You started in the show with the transition you needed to make, and you talked about your kids and how important it was that you stayed here and you did something well for them. And it's been a few years now. How'd that go? How are they doing? How are you doing as a father? Did it all work out well?
That's a great question. They're great. I mean, my daughter's having success in school and bowling. She just got her license. My son has turned into he's 13 now. He's probably one of the best travel ball pitchers in the state of Ohio. So that's been great to see him accomplish. And I really deep down believe I became a better father and parent after divorce than I was before, because it made me hyper-focused and hyper-specific on my time with them and the things I want to get done with them.
Jason, if somebody wanted to reach out and talk to you about any of these things that we've talked about, maybe even including making transitions and becoming a better human being and a better father, but especially for business and training opportunities and things, how would they do so?
Yeah, so you can go to the Ruby Group site. If you rubygroup.sandler, that site, you can find my information there. My email, jason.reynolds@sandler.com, is another way. I'm on LinkedIn. You can look me up on Facebook, Instagram. I'm on those pages too. So hit me up.
You know, Jason, when I met you, I think this is as long as we've ever talked together. And when I first met you, I had known Mike real well, and I'd known Ken and Jordan and the team, right? But you kind of were in the corner, the new guy, and you just kind of stood there and you just had this air of confidence about you. And I didn't quite know what to make of that. I said, who's this new guy that seems like he's got it all together? And now I understand. Now I understand. You do have an air of confidence that says, look, just do the work. We're going to be okay. If we believe in God, we believe in why we're here, and we don't give up on that, we're going to do just fine. And I think people give salespeople, they think of salespeople as, trying to talk you into something, or trying to go after you, or trying to, switch you around in some way. That's not you, and that's not Sandler. And I think Mike made a tremendous acquisition when he convinced you to come and join the team. Well done.
Appreciate that, Brian. Appreciate being here and all that you've done for us too, and you're doing now. It's awesome to see.
We're trying to make a difference together. I'll go ahead and tell the story now. I don't think I've ever told it, if folks are still listening. But when I started this podcast, and Mike and I have known each other for a long time, and it was Purpose Under Pressure, and it was about overcoming great things and doing great things and never quitting. And I said, I don't want a sponsor. I want a partner. And I immediately called Mike and I said, I don't even want this. I might not even sell this to anybody else. And if you don't partner with me, I might not get a partner. But I wanted Sandler to be a partner in this show, because we talk about the same things. We just know that it's important that people do things on purpose and they do things right and they just don't ever quit. And so I appreciate your partnership and everybody at Sandler. And thanks for allowing me to tell that story a little bit, because it's important to me. And thank you for being a guest on Purpose Under Pressure.
Thank you.
That's Jason Reynolds. Jason Reynolds is the chief training officer and an owner at Sandler by the Ruby Group. Folks, I don't fake this. If you can't tell by now, I am a huge fan of Mike Jones, Ken Guest, Jordan Mullett, Jason Reynolds, and the entire team at Sandler by the Ruby Group. They are impactful. They will make a difference. And you will do yourself a favor just by giving someone over there a call and saying, hey, you want to talk. From there on, whatever happens, happens, and it's going to be good. So those are my folks. Those are my boys, Sandler by the Ruby Group, partners here with Purpose Under Pressure podcast. You can always find past episodes at brianmediastrategies.com/podcast. And wherever you stream your podcasts, we do this every week. And we will see you next time on Purpose.